Hi, welcome to James Miller Lifeology, where you'll learn to simplify and transform your spirit, mind, and body. My name is James Miller. I'm a licensed psychotherapist and a composer. Thank you so much for joining me today in this podcast. Let's get started. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Get your free audiobook and a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/James Miller Lifeology. I have a great show for you today. I'll be teaching you ways to use your environments to change your mood. I'll also be interviewing Allison Caro, who is a professional organizer. She shares her personal story of how she used her organizational skills to change her life. You all know me as a psychotherapist, but many of you do not know me as a composer. My first album, Consolation, was written specifically for people who are experiencing grief and loss. I like to think of this album like a book. Each original composition is written like a chapter in a book. And just like in any story, it goes from the loss that one experiences and eventually helps people find the hope for their future. You may purchase this album on iTunes or through any other digital music store. Be sure to download the digital booklet that comes along with it. The name of the album is Consolation, and my stage name is James S. Miller. The name of the piece you are currently hearing is entitled, I Was Wondering. And now it's time for self-check-in. It's important for us to be able to separate between what our body feels like and what our emotions are. Sometimes we think they're one and the same, but they're really not. So just because you may have woken up in a bad mood does not mean you can't fulfill the responsibilities that you have to do today. And vice versa, you may have woken up today and not feel very well, but that doesn't mean that you can't be in a good mood. So on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 is the best you've ever felt and 1 is the worst you've ever felt. Go ahead and create those two scales for yourself. For example, for me, on a scale of 1 to 10, my emotions today, I'm feeling about a 7. I'm feeling pretty good. However, on a scale of 1 to 10, for my body, I'm feeling probably about a 4. I woke up with a little bit of a cold today, so I'm a little under the weather. But that doesn't mean that I can't be in a good mood. So when you can recognize that there's a difference between what your body feels like and what your emotions are, it helps you recognize what you can change. Using your environment to change your mood. Did you realize that the two are closely related? For example, have you ever come home from work and you look around your house and you think, oh my gosh, what happened? My place is a mess. And when that happens, it's important for us to stop and reflect and simply ask the question, what is going on with me right now? There's been times when I come home from work and I can see my house. And for me, my house is usually pretty tidy. And so if I see that I have dishes in the sink or perhaps some clothes that need to be folded, I simply say, James, what's going on with you right now? And sometimes it's just a basic thing of, well, I've been really busy. But other times I can think, oh, you know, well, I've been kind of down in this area or this situation has been troubling me. And so it's really important for us to use our home environment as a barometer. That barometer tells us how we are feeling. Now, everybody's going to have a different level of tidiness. Now, I don't mean dirtiness. I just simply mean tidiness because we all have kind of a baseline of how we like things to be in order and organized and things to be in their specific place. So you have to figure out where the baseline is for you as far as what the tidiness of your environment looks like. And then if you find that that level of tidiness is below the typical norm, well, then there's probably something going on in you. Think of it this way. If you are struggling with something, your daily routines are not going to be as scheduled as they typically are. You're not going to take the energy to do those household chores that you would typically do should things be status quo. So if you're feeling something internally that's happening, and you may not even be aware of it, but your house will always be a really good indication of how you're feeling and how you're doing. I often have clients who say, James, I don't know how to get through this situation. I don't know how to get over this. I don't know how to change the way I'm feeling. And there are specific ways to help people kind of through what's called cognitive behavioral therapy. But when that doesn't feel like it's working for someone, I have them work backwards. I tell them, look at your environment. Your environment is going to sync up with whatever your mood is. So if you feel like you can't change your mood, well, then you change your environment. And so what happens is you then go and you put everything back in the order that it's supposed to go. And sometimes I have my clients even improve that level of tidiness, because when everything is in that specific order, it all of a sudden puts our emotions in order. Now, it doesn't mean it takes away from all that we're experiencing, but what it does is it causes us to have a form of kinetic movement. Now, when we're experiencing some type of emotionality and we're struggling with something, the way it works is whatever our perception is about a situation, our thoughts tell us what to feel. Our feelings then tell our body what to do. And so if we're not kinetically moving, then all of a sudden that energy is going to go towards our emotions, and it's going to go towards all these looping thoughts that go and go and go. So when we take that energy and we use it for something productive, well, then it all of a sudden puts our house back in order. And then all of a sudden it takes that emotion and it kind of purges it out of our body as well. So there are multiple ways in which this simple thing of cleaning your house can really change your mood to such a degree. Have you ever looked at a painting before and the designs just don't go together at all? The colors just seem like they just don't match at all? Well, when you look at that painting, it actually causes a form of chaos as far as your organizational mind, because in order for us to figure out what something is, there has to be a pattern that goes along with it. There has to be a sense of cohesiveness about it. And so when we look at those types of things, it often causes us to feel a certain way. And it's the same type of concept when it comes to our house. We may not realize it, but when our house is less than the normal level of tidiness, we're actually experiencing the same thing that we're experiencing should we look at that painting that just doesn't seem to go well at all together. But because it's our familiar home, we don't think of it that way. But what we're doing when our house is not in order is we're creating chaos around us. So essentially, you are living in a form of chaos. And when you live in a form of chaos, well, then your mind isn't going to be as sharp, because subconsciously you're always seeing this chaos. Your emotions are going to be out of balance, because once again, your emotions and your mind are linked together. So all of these things work together. And so that's why it's imperative for us to be mindful of what our environment is like. There'll be other times when I have clients who come home and they say, James, I feel like I don't have any motivation or energy to do anything. Well, the workaround with that is simply this. Let's say you come home, you put your keys on the counter, you pick up the mail, and then you sit on the couch. Well, if that's kind of the routine that you create all the time, well, then you have to create a different routine. And so what I mean by that is if you come in, well, then don't drop your keys off on the counter. Walk into another room while you read the mail. Sit in a different spot. Because once again, what we're doing is we're causing our minds to move in a different direction. We're causing our mind to focus on something different. And so your environment is going to be one of the best places to do that. Because if you always sit in the same chair, watch TV the same way, take a nap the same way, well, that becomes your daily routine. And if you're already struggling with something, well, it's going to be very easy to fall into the pattern of doing your status quo and doing your routines without even thinking about it. So if we're trying to do something differently, we have to do those tasks differently, because we can't get lost in whatever the emotionality we're experiencing. And so when we do it differently, let's say you take a nap in a different part of the couch, or take a nap in a chair, or you eat your food in a different part of the table, it's going to cause your mind to focus on other things. And so it's really important for each of us to kind of build these tools. These tools are practical tools and ways to change your mood, to change your thoughts, because you're focusing on different things, literally. You're taking that energy and you're moving it in a productive way. And then just overall, just looking around in your house, that's going to be a really good indication of when things are going really well for you. And then when you may be struggling with something and you didn't even know it. So I always encourage all my clients to be as proactive as you can be, and that's to always have your house or always have your environment as tidy as it can be. Because the more tidy it is, the more you subconsciously keep your emotions in check, and you're purging out any of that energy you're experiencing, because however your emotions are is typically how your house is going to be. So once again, you work backwards, and your house is always clean, which means your emotions are typically more balanced. And now a quick word from my sponsor. For you, my listener, Audible.com is offering a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/James Miller Lifeology. Many of you don't know this about me, but I'm an avid reader. So this is a great opportunity for me to be able to download any book I'd like to read, specifically if I'm walking my dog at the gym or even driving. So for you to get your free audiobook, go to www.audibletrial.com/James Miller Lifeology. They have over 185,000 books for you to choose from, so I'm pretty confident you'll find the book you're looking for. So check it out today. I have a great show for you today. I'll be interviewing Allison Caro, who is an author and speaker and a professional organizer. She has a wonderful life lesson she's going to teach us today. Welcome to my show, Allison.
Thank you so much, James. I'm so excited to be here.
Wonderful. When you had originally sent me your email, I thought it was a really appropriate lesson to teach my listeners. It sounds like you've gone through a lot of very difficult things and have learned some practical tools that were helpful for you and that you're able to perhaps share with your clients as well.
Yes, it's true. A couple years ago, I got very, very ill and actually really couldn't even move out of my bed for 3 weeks. And after that, kept expecting to feel better and really just wasn't. I remember at one point, a client of mine looked me straight in the face and said, "You look depressing." And I had to agree with her. I wasn't even insulted. It was that bad. And it was about 6 months after I originally got sick that I finally was diagnosed with what's known as chronic fatigue syndrome. But it's not just that you're kind of tired all the time. I had about 19 other symptoms that went along with being fatigued. And it wasn't just being tired. This was feeling like you hadn't slept in 3 days and you couldn't move. And there were times where getting out of bed to go to the bathroom was a major achievement for me that day. And
oh my gosh.
It was really, really bad. And I would go to doctors and they kept filling me with more and more medication, which then made me feel even worse. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them really didn't even understand what I had either. And so they're telling me, "You have this, you're going to have it for the rest of your life. Keep taking these drugs." And myself, I don't like taking drugs and I really don't like being on drugs for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. So I also didn't feel like I was being diagnosed in a proper way. Some of them didn't even know me, had never asked a single question about my health, but were diagnosing me, and I didn't like that. And the one doctor who did diagnose me with chronic fatigue said to me twice, straight to my face, "Go on disability," and basically said, "You know, that's all I can do for you."
Oh my
God. So I'm sort of, let go from all doctors and told, "Hey, this is what you're going to have, and this is how it's going to feel for the rest of your life." And I remember the day she basically told me that. I'm on the subway on the way home, and I started crying, but not because I was like, "Oh my God, I'm doomed." It was because I was like, this is the defining moment where mm-hmm. I choose that this is not real. This is not going to happen to me for the rest of my life. And I will find a way out of it. And this is going to make me stronger and better. And so I was crying out of joy because I knew the gift that I was being given versus me taking it as a, "Oh my God, I'm stuck for the rest of my life." And believe me, there were many, many days where I did feel like I was stuck for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. But a lot of other days, I just kept choosing to go forward and find something. And what happened was, you know, I'm an organizer by trade. And so I like to read other articles from other people. Sometimes you pick up some really great things. So I, read a book from somebody else and decided to try some of the things that she was talking about. And one of them was going after the joy of what you're keeping. For the first time, I really decided, even though I had almost nothing left in my apartment because I had lost so much weight that, 90% of my wardrobe didn't even fit. So I had really gotten rid of, I would say at least 50% of my wardrobe. But I just decided, I'm going to really just choose only things that I like and I really have to like them. I want to be excited about wearing them and that I use and that I need. And I went through everything, even though I'm thinking, "Oh my God, I'm going to have nothing left to wear and this house is going to look bare." But I went through every single solitary item I own, from my clothing to my books to my papers, even to my photographs, which I had never before ever gone through. And I purged everything that I did not like, that I did not need, and I did not use. And I immediately noticed that I was feeling better, especially with my clothing, because, I wasn't going anywhere. I was largely housebound. So what I looked like, because I was only seeing myself, and, I was sick, so I wasn't feeling that great, but what I looked like mattered to me. And so when I was putting on only what I liked, I'm seeing that, and I'm seeing in my home only the books that I really like instead of, I really should read that, even though I know I'm not going to. Or if I flip through my photographs, it wasn't, "Why did I still have that photograph? Who is that person? Or that person was horrible to me." All of a sudden, it was me being surrounded only by things that I liked, needed, and used, and I was seeing it, and I was also seeing a difference. And so I thought to myself, wait, if it works for the physical stuff, why can't this work for emotional and spiritual clutter too. And so it really became about me making sure that every decision that I make in my life is going to be a self-love-based decision of, do I like it? Do I need it? Do I use it? If it's a friend, if it's a colleague, if it's an activity, anything that I'm going to do in my life, I only want to choose it because I like it, I need it, or I use it. And it's really started to make a huge difference in my life. And once I started doing that, I've been able to let go of things that aren't working for me, which before I would have kept doing. But now I go, you know what? I really don't like this. And I've found like I'm much more honest with myself. And I'm making smarter decisions because of that honesty. I've let go of the guilt, of the shame, and of the fear that a lot of people are holding on to when they keep things, whether that's friends, whether that's clothing, whether that's papers, no matter what it is in their life. If you can let go of that and really be honest and really stick to your first gut reaction, which is when you look at a shirt and you go, yeah, I really like that, or you go, I don't really want to wear that, because your second thought is, okay, well, I don't really want to wear that, but then I just bought it and I spent a lot of money on it. But your first reaction was the true one of, I don't really like it. Who cares about the rest? That's the fact. The fact is, I don't really like it. And that's all I needed to know. And so it helped me to find a healer who does pretty much everything. I mean, she's a life coach and an energy healer and a nutritionist, and it was one-stop shopping. And this woman has helped me start to get my health back on track. But also by using this method, I've been able to start really getting a support system where it's people that I really, truly know are there for me, and I can be there for them. I'm picking and choosing projects for both and for play that I really like and I really enjoy. And I find that I get more energy out of that because I'm putting happiness and joy into it, and there's no clutter of, oh God, I don't really want to do this, but I should do this. And it's been completely life transforming, not just for me, but for my business and for my clients.
That is wonderful. You've said so many amazing things in your interview right now, but I have so many questions I want to ask you. So going back to, because there's so many wonderful, wonderful things there. So thank you so much for sharing that. But going back to the time when you were on the subway going home and you realized that this was a defining life moment, what was it within you that gave you that insight or that wisdom to say, all right, Allison, you have a choice right now. What are you going to do with it? What happened within you that you were able to recognize that?
I have been doing a lot of spiritual work for the past 5 years, and I've been very lucky in that a lot of the teachers would say, you know, look at it in a different perspective. This isn't a punishment. This isn't you doing something wrong. This is a gift instead. And also, when she told me, you know, go on disability, I knew in my body that that wasn't a truth for me. She may have been saying that. She may have been the expert, but my body was telling me that's not true. And so I wanted to start really trusting myself. And I just knew intrinsically, deep down inside, that it was a gift, and that if I kept looking at it as this is the worst thing that ever could happen to me, that it was going to keep me down there forever. But if I looked at it in a new perspective, it would rise me out of it. And I think that's what you have to do with all situations, is changing your perspective on it. Instead of thinking, oh, organizing is hard and it's boring, you can think to yourself, hey, you know what? I can go shopping in my own closet and I can pick out just the stuff that I love, and I can get rid of the stuff that I don't. And so all of a sudden, I have this amazing wardrobe that I didn't have to spend a dime on. And hey, if I sell the old stuff, I could even make money off of it. That's win-win.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. I think that's wonderful, because oftentimes the perspective that we do have will determine the direction that our life is going to go. So I'm glad that you had those people in your life that were helping you on this spiritual journey, and you realize you're right. This does not feel right intrinsically for me. And so because of that, I then have a choice to say, do I take what this medical expert says, or do I take the choice of what I think for myself, because I'm the expert of my own body?
Yeah, that's exactly what I had to do. And I've also learned that a truth will make you feel lighter in your body, whereas if it's something that's not true for you, you feel heavier. And so when she said that to me and I thought, is this true? I felt lighter. And I said, that's not true for me. And I think if people start listening to their own bodies and their own truths, it guides you in a different way than somebody else can, even if they're an expert. And I'm not saying people shouldn't, experts shouldn't be listened to. They definitely should be, but they're not inside your body. They don't know, you know, and a lot of them weren't even asking me questions about what was going on within my body. So how would they know? They were just guessing. I know what's going on in my body. And I think that whenever you partnership with an expert, it should be just that, a partnership where you, as the person who is going in for that expert consultation, should be just as much involved as the expert is, because that's the only way that you really can achieve the results that you want. Otherwise, you're just basically doing what somebody else is telling you, and there's not just one right way to achieve the same goal. You know, one person could be saying the same thing, and person A says something in a way that makes sense to you, and person B is saying the same thing, and it makes no sense at all. So you have to find the people to partnership with that, you know, you have the same goals and you speak the same language, and you're going to work together to make sure that you both end up winning in the situation.
I think that's wonderful advice. Yeah, specifically in my field as well, you have to have that partnership. But if it doesn't resonate with them, then of course there's no buy-in. And so both parties have to have that buy-in together to create the more realistic treatment plan of what's going to happen.
Exactly. Yeah. If both parties are not completely committed and involved, it's not going to, you're never going to get the results that you really truly want and deserve as the person who's spending the time and the money and the commitment on trying to improve yourself.
Definitely. Because you're a professional organizer. And so why don't you tell my listeners what that specifically entails, and then I'll ask the next question.
Great. So what I do is I work via phone or Skype, and I help clients determine what is clutter, what isn't, learn how to incorporate decision-making skills. Because a lot of people, part of what gets them stuck is they were never taught decisions. And so they have indecisiveness, and they sit on the fence, and they just hope that it gets decided for them. And that's where a lot of the disorganization comes in. So I'm trying to teach people easy, simple to follow steps that they can use to not only clear out the physical clutter in their lives, but then they can continue using those same steps to then start clearing out the emotional clutter, the spiritual clutter, and any other thing that they have in their lives, so that they're really committed to a happier, healthier, more organized person who's making decisions that are self-love based and sure that their priorities are going in the right way versus just sort of handling what gets thrown at them. And so it really, I think a lot of people feel like, oh, if I get organized, I'm not going to be as creative. But I feel like once you are organized, that's when your brain goes, I can be creative because I don't have all these distractions around.
And that's typically what I teach my clients as well. People who kind of struggle with their mood, I tell them to simply change your environment. If you find that your room or your house is perhaps a little bit more disorganized than it typically would be, well, then that's probably a good indication that things aren't going very well for you internally. So if you can put your house or your room back to the level that it typically is, it helps you internally kind of put your emotions back in order.
Yes, exactly. The other thing is we're very visual people. So if we're, imagine waking up every day and you see the inside of a prison cell. Imagine how you would feel. Now imagine if you woke up every day and you're looking at a beach and how you would feel. That's what I want people to get, is to get to that point where they wake up every day and they feel great because they're only seeing what looks great to them, and they're wearing what looks great to them. And the other thing that they have to remember is everything is energy. So even if it's a crumpled up receipt, that has energy attached to it. So if you've got a house full of stuff you don't like, stuff you don't use, stuff you don't need, stuff that makes you feel bad about yourself or guilty or any of those lower hanging energies, you're going to get sucked into that. And once you purge those items out of your home, those feelings are gone. You've literally taken them out of your house. And within 24 hours, you can start start feeling lighter and more expansive. You can start sleeping better. You can start thinking better. You're more productive. I mean, everything. You opened up a space where new and better things can come into your life.
Exactly. How do you measure if something feels good, something feels bad, if you need it, if you want it? How do you make measurements for that? How do you quantify that?
Well, I mean, a lot of times I like the physical clutter because you can put it in your hand and you can touch it and you can look at it. And so if you say you grabbed a sweater, you can look at it. Can you tell that it is the color still good? Does it have holes in it that you can't repair? Are there buttons missing? Did it get all pilly and gross and it just doesn't look good anymore? Also, when you're holding it, what's the first thought that comes to your brain? Is it, oh, I really like the sweater and I can't wear it and I can't wait to wear it again? Or is it, you know, because you know how you feel. It's just that because of a lot of things that have come into your life, you almost have shut down those feelings, or you allow the guilt and the shame or those second guesses to keep you in that, I don't really know how I feel about it. And so when you start going literally one sweater at a time and holding it in your hand and looking at it and saying, does this look good? And then going with your gut instinct of, I really like this color. It does look good on me, and I'd like to wear it again versus, ugh. And a lot of times, sometimes that's why people work with me is because they're not really sure. And so I want to help them along. And most of the time, they're not even hearing what they're saying. I had one friend go, should I keep this old trash bag of old T-shirts that I'm still waiting to get back into? I'm like, well, you just called them old T-shirts. So what do you think? She goes, oh, God, yeah. And so in the beginning, I'm sort of you, like you're conscious going, that's not how you really feel. Look at what you just said. But as people keep doing it, sweater by sweater, shirt by shirt, pants by pants, they start getting into a routine and it becomes easier for them. So, and that's why I always say start with your clothing, because you're going to see the results immediately on what you're wearing. And then you can build up to the harder, more personal items. But it really is about starting with one thing in your hand and looking at it and asking yourself that question and taking a moment and allowing yourself to have an honest answer come back to you, and then going with that gut instinct because it was the first and correct one. And the more you do it, the easier it gets.
Sure. And I think what you said at the very beginning of the interview also is your gut instinct, and all of a sudden we rationalize it. And there's such a fine line between that gut instinct and all of a sudden when we rationalize it, it's like 2 to 3 seconds. We have that choice to, do I stick with that first gut or do I automatically rationalize? And if I rationalize, then next thing I know, I have 5 sweaters that I really didn't want in the first place.
Exactly. And I used to do that myself because I had the space. You know, I was never somebody who had so much clutter that I didn't have a space for it. But even if you do have a space for it, if you don't like it, want it, or need it, it's still clutter. And it makes a huge difference when you go through that clutter and get rid of it, because being honest with yourself is really the first step in decluttering. Sure. Learning how to give yourself the right information and listen to your gut and listening to your body. And that's how you start getting happier. And that's how you start getting healthier, because the truer you are to yourself, the better you can be for yourself and for everyone else out there.
And I think it also goes back to, you know, when you're saying using these examples or using this ability to declutter in your apartment, learning how to do that with people, because I think sometimes we feel we have to be friends with someone because someone's been in our life for a certain period of time. We have to have these people stay in our life. And in doing that, we're really setting ourselves up, because not everybody can go the full distance in our life. Not everybody's meant to be a main character in our life. And so I think so many times it's difficult to use the same lesson that you teach for the organizational piece when it comes to our personal life, because sometimes we just feel that we have to do something because it's always something we've done before.
Yes, and you have a much more emotional history with a human being than you would with a sweater. And the other thing is, the sweater's not going to knock on your door the next day and go, hey, what's up? Why aren't you talking to me?
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point.
No, yeah. And it is difficult. And that was something that I myself struggled with a lot. And again, one of the gifts of getting sick was I was pretty much, most of my friends said, see you later. And I at one point had pretty much one friend left, but she was a very good friend. And she was probably one of the first true friends I've ever had. And so I got to really go go, you know what? This person is showing up. This person is calling me. This person is helping me. She's not treating me like I'm damaged goods. She really was a support system that I needed in a really bad time. And so what a gift that was, because now I can build on that. I can say, that's what a true friend looks like. And that's what a true friend feels like energetically, where there's that equal give and take. When I see her, I'm energetic. I have energy when I'm, you know, after I've left her. And so I want to build only relationships now where I look forward to seeing them, where there's an even exchange of ideas and energy. And after I see them, I still feel energetic. Those people who had were draining me, I was already tired. I didn't need to be more tired. And so for me, it was very easy of, you're affecting my health, and I choose me and my health first. And so I've had to let a lot of people go. But to be honest with you, that was one of the smartest things I did, because I feel lighter and I feel freer. And even on social media, if I find that I'm getting triggered by somebody, I'll make it so that I can't see their post, because I like me and I choose to declutter my life in a way where I only want to see and be around the things that make me happy, not the things that make me angry and jittery and tired and exhausted. Sure. Those are off. That to me is clutter. All those energies are clutter. And so at this point, it really is very important to me, because I feel so much happier and better and freer and more empowered by only keeping those people, even if it's one person left in your life who really truly cares about you. It's an equal exchange, and you feel energetic afterwards, and you'll find more of them, because like attracts like.
I think that's absolutely wonderful. How have you found for yourself that this new paradigm shift or this new take on life, how has it helped your health overall?
Oh, I feel a lot more energetic. Even in the past 6 months, my energy has really just shot up. I can do a lot more activities. I feel a lot more energetic. I don't need to be in bed by 8 o'clock at night anymore. I can stay up pretty much, you know, until whenever I do. My stomach has gotten a lot better. I've been able to even out my weight. All of the aches and pains have gone. In fact, I think, you know, a little bit of stomach issues and a little bit of exhaustion, and otherwise every other symptom has completely left my body.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, I'm very, very grateful, because it really has only been a year and a half since I was diagnosed. And with the energy, I use the same system. Is this worth my time and effort? Mm-hmm. Is this going to give me energy? Is this something that I look forward to? And if it doesn't, I get out of it, or I don't get into it at all. And I don't make apologies. I recently was trying to find a volunteer organization that I could spend a little bit of time, you know, giving some help to. And the one I almost went into, I immediately started getting the sense that I was going to be like thrown into a situation with not a lot of support and then expected to just figure it out on my own. And I thought, nope, I'm not doing that to myself. And before I used to think it was my responsibility. It's not. So I found a different one that's very, very well organized. I'm going to go to the interview tomorrow and see what it's like. And if it doesn't feel right for me, I'll walk away. But I'll walk away guilt-free, because it's not good for them for me to get thrown into something I can't handle or don't want to handle. And it's no good for me to be doing that either. It's lose-lose. So why bother?
You're absolutely right. Yes. Good for you. That's wonderful, wonderful insight that you have.
Yeah, thank you. Again, it took me losing almost everything to figure this stuff out. But, you know,
but
I'm so grateful.
Yes.
I figured it out. Yeah.
Yes. Well, Allison, I want to thank you so much for being a part of my show. If my listeners would like to find out more information about you, where would they find your information online?
Well, my company is called ACK Organizing, and the easiest place to find me and connect with me is www.ackorganizing.com.
Wonderful. Well, Allison, I want to thank you so much for being a part of Lifeology today.
Thank you, James, so much. I really appreciate it. It was such a fun experience.
I'd also like to thank you, the listener, for joining with me today. Please subscribe to this podcast, either through iTunes or through whichever podcast portal you joined with me today. Also, please visit my website, jamesmillerlifeology.com. You may enroll in the Lifeology Academy I created. They're self-directed courses for successful people just like you. You may also see all the Lifeology YouTube episodes I've created. Currently, there are over 125 episodes there for you to watch. And also on my website, you may find many other tools and techniques which will help you simplify and transform your spirit, mind, and body. Have an amazing week, and I'll talk to you very soon.